Hello and welcome to episode 311 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb. I'm your host. I hope you're doing well today. Every Monday through Friday, I bring you two or three chapters of the Bible and a short devotional or commentary in about 10 minutes. We're reading through the Bible on three tracks. Track one is reading through the Old Testament. Track two is reading through the New Testament. And the third track is reading through the books of poetry and wisdom. Each day alternates to one of those tracks. Also, each week I choose a different translation of the Bible. Today we're on track one. We'll see the last confrontation between Saul and David, and where David went after this event. We're going to read 1 Samuel 26 and 27 from the God's Word translation. Let's begin. 1 Samuel chapter 26. The people of Ziph came to Saul at Gibeah. "David is hiding at the hill of Hakilah, near Jeshimon," they said. Saul went to the desert of Ziph, taking with him 3,000 of Israel's best-trained men to search for David. Saul camped by the road at the hill of Hakilah, near Jeshimon, but David stayed in the desert. When he realized Saul had come to the desert for him, David sent spies to confirm that Saul had arrived. Then David went to the place where Saul had camped. David saw the place where Saul and Ner's son Abner, the commander of the army, were lying. Saul was lying in the camp, and the troops were camped around him. David asked Ahimelech the Hittite and Abishai, who was Zeruiah's son and Joab's brother, "Who will go with me to Saul in the camp?" Abishai answered, "I'll go with you." So David and Abishai went amongst Saul's troops that night. Saul was lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Abishai said to David, "Today God has turned your enemy over to you. Please let me nail him to the ground with one stab of the spear. I won't have to do it twice." "Don't kill him," David told Abishai. "No one has ever attacked the Lord's anointed king and remained free of guilt." "I solemnly swear, as the Lord lives," David added, "the Lord will strike him. Either his time will come when he'll die naturally, or he'll go into battle and be swept away. It would be unthinkable for me to attack the Lord's anointed king. But please, take that spear near his head and that jar of water, and let's go." David took the spear and the jar of water near Saul's head, and they left. All of them were asleep. No one saw them, knew about it, or woke up. The Lord had made them fall into a deep sleep. David went over to the other side and stood on top of the hill some distance away. There was a wide space between them. Then David called to the troops and to Ner's son Abner. "Won't you answer, Abner?" he asked. "Who is calling the king?" Abner asked. David asked Abner, "Aren't you a man? Is there anyone like you in Israel? Then why didn't you guard your master, the king? Someone came to kill his royal majesty. What you've done isn't good. I solemnly swear, as the Lord lives, you are a dead man. You didn't guard your master, the Lord's anointed king. Look at the king's spear and the jar of water that were near his head." Saul recognized David's voice. "Is that your voice, my servant David?" he asked. "It is my voice, your royal majesty," David answered. "Why are you pursuing me?" he added. "What have I done? What crime have I committed? Your majesty, please listen to my words. If the Lord has turned you against me, let him be satisfied with an offering. But if mere mortals have turned you against me, let them be cursed by the Lord. They have prevented me from having a share of the Lord's inheritance. Go and serve other gods, they tell me. Don't let my blood fall to the ground away from the Lord's presence. The king of Israel has come to search for one flea like someone hunting a partridge in the hills." "My servant David," Saul said, "I have sinned. Come back. I will not harm you again because you valued my life today. I've acted like a fool and made a terrible mistake." David responded, "Here's the king's spear. One of the young men should come over and get it. The Lord will reward any person who is righteous and faithful. The Lord handed you over to me today, but I refused to attack the Lord's anointed king. As I placed great value on your life today, may the Lord place great value on my life and rescue me from all trouble." Then Saul said, "Blessed are you, my servant David. You will accomplish many things and certainly will succeed." So David went his way while Saul returned home. 1 Samuel chapter 27. David said to himself, "One of these days Saul will sweep me away. The best thing for me to do is to make sure that I escape to Philistine territory. Then Saul will give up looking all over Israel for me, and I'll escape from him." So David went with his 600 men to King Achish of Gath, Maok's son. David and his men stayed with Achish at Gath. Each one had his family, and David had his two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel, and Abigail, who had been Nabal's wife, from Carmel. When Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, he didn't search for him anymore. David said to Achish, "If you will permit me, let me have a place in one of the outlying towns so that I can live there. Why should I live in the royal city with you?" So Achish immediately gave him Ziklag, which is why Ziklag still belongs to the kings of Judah today. David stayed in Philistine territory for 1 year and 4 months. Then David and his men went to raid the Geshurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites. They lived in the territory which extends from Telaim to Shur and Egypt. Whenever David attacked the territory, he left no man or woman alive. He also took sheep, cattle, donkeys, camels, and clothing, and returned to Achish. Achish would ask, "Whom did you raid today?" And David would answer, "The Negev in Judah," or "the portion of the Negev where the descendants of Jerahmeel live," or "the portion of the Negev where the Kenites live." He did not bring a single man or woman back to Gath alive. He thought, "They could tell Achish what I really did." This was his practice as long as he lived in Philistine territory. And Achish believed David. Achish thought, "He has definitely made his own people in Israel despise him. He'll be my servant from now on." May God richly bless the reading of His Word. Once more, David passes on an opportunity to take out Saul because David refuses to touch God's anointed, even though he knows that Saul is unjustly after his blood. David knows that God has promised to give the throne to him, and he won't force the issue by taking matters into his own hands. Have you ever heard the phrase, "God helps those who help themselves"? Wouldn't it make sense for David to take advantage of the situation here? Well, not really, because that phrase is not in the Bible. God gave David the promise, and it's up to God to make it come to pass. It's not up to David. When David shows Saul the spear and the water jug, Saul is finally convinced that David is not after him, and we have no more recorded instances that they ever saw each other again. So what of David's statement at the beginning of the next chapter that, "One of these days, Saul will sweep me away"? David may have convinced Saul, but David still doesn't trust him, and he's having an episode of weak faith. If his faith was strong, he would know that there was no way God would allow Saul to harm him. I've known some wonderful men of God who sometimes had doubts. I've had periods in my own life when I wasn't sure of God's will for my life, or whether I was even on God's radar. This is a good reminder to pray for our pastors and other people in our lives who come under attack. Our leaders, whether they be spiritual leaders or family leaders or governmental leaders, often come under really intense pressure from all kinds of sources, even those who we think are pillars of strength. In their hearts, they sometimes doubt. Pray for them. Encourage them. Lift them up. If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 311.lifespringmedia.com. Or tweet me at @SteveWebb_#LifespringMedia. I'll see you tomorrow when we're back in the book of 1 Timothy. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.